When Your World is Falling Apart. Commentary for the January 16, 2021 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Psalm 23, verses 3 through 5. It is hard not to notice that the lesson titles for this quarter so far seem to be echoing real-life events unfolding around us. Ahaz, the embattled king, was facing opposition to his rule from Samaria and Syria, who wished to place their own king on the throne in Jerusalem. Isaiah tried to get him to turn to God, who would not let that happen if he humbly served God and submitted to His leading. Unfortunately, he chose his own way, plundering the temple of God for gold to send to Assyria to get Tiglath-Pileser III to attack the enemies that are at the gates of Jerusalem. The Assyrians attack and capture Damascus and kill the Syrian king, leaving Samaria without an ally against Jerusalem. So they abandon their siege, and Ahaz feels he has triumphed over his enemies. But Isaiah reveals he has only sown the seeds for the destruction of Jerusalem and the captivity of its citizens. As I write this, we have the last few days in office of the United States president, who feels besieged by adversaries in the opposing political party. Rather than accept God's will in the results of a national election, his call upon those in his electoral base to rise up and fight. This they have done, attacking the nation's capital, plundering, destroying, and murdering, while promising more of the same in days to come. The president and his family and friends may find joy in this result, but like Ahaz, he is only working to supply the seeds of destruction of the country. The rulers of any country can never find safety and security in the hands of violent armies. The armies that defend them today can easily turn against them tomorrow. Several Roman Caesars can attest to that. How quickly that mob can turn was seen in the chance to hang the vice president, a member of the president's own political party. Now our president of the last 4 years sits abandoned by much of mainstream society, isolated from social media, and a pariah to the rest of the government. Many fingers point in his direction with the accusation that he has incited the insurrection and intended to stage a coup to prevent the newly elected president from taking office. Does he now appeal to an outside ruler to intervene as Ahaz did with Tiglath-Pileser? To do so would ensure the destruction of the United States as we know it, as assuredly as it brought about the destruction of Jerusalem. It could mean the loss of the world's foremost democratic republic. Many Christians believe that the establishment of the United States on these shores was ordained of God. Yet paradoxically, too many of these same Christians want now to tear it down. The world as we know it certainly seems to be falling apart. Perhaps there is a lesson in all of this for us. According to Paul's letter to the Roman Church, God sets up governments, and we should be obedient to those governments. Some might argue, but what if that government is opposed to God's will? First, no one can successfully oppose God's will. Second, Paul wrote this letter at a time when Caesars were ruling the Roman Empire. These men were worshipped as gods, and statues of them were set up everywhere as objects of worship. They even tried to set up Caesar worship in the temple in Jerusalem. Likely, most Jews living under Roman rule would have agreed that the Romans were not working according to the will of God. If anyone could justifiably argue for insurrection against a corrupt government, it was the Jews. In fact, they did so twice after Christ's resurrection and ascension, once in 70 CE and again in the early 2nd century. Both insurrections were ruthlessly put down, with as many as 1 million slain in the first revolt alone. The Christians, perhaps following a similar understanding to what Paul expressed, did not take part in those insurrections and were largely spared the repercussions. This contributed to a large degree to the division that exists between Judaism and Christianity today, as well as a marked rise of anti-Semitism among Christians beginning around the time of the Second Revolt. This is found in the writings of the Anti-Nicene Church Fathers. Justin Martyr's Dialogue with Trypho, a Jew, is one glaring example. Doubtless this may have created a spiritual crisis for many Jews, for if the government they resisted was not working according to God's will, why didn't God assure the success of their rebellion? Perhaps it is because God does not sanction rebellion. As Samuel told Saul, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. If Paul's letter to Rome is any sign, perhaps God prefers to set up and pull down rulers himself. Since he alone can see into the hearts of mankind, that might be a safer way to go than changing governments at the hands of a chaotic mob. What then should the Christian do when faced with an evil government? This may be difficult for many modern Christians to figure out, since so much of what we know and feel today has been filtered through the church of the 4th century, when the church and the state became one, and church ordinances also became state ordinances. Therefore, some have felt that the birth of the United States, based on principles that would separate those entanglements, was ordained of God. It allowed the potential for a return to 1st century Christianity, free of state control, but not independent of the state about secular matters. This principle served us well for much of our checkered history. But even in those early days, some, like the Puritans, did not want freedom of religion. They wanted the state and religion to continue together, only they wanted it to be their religion and no one else's. Perhaps it is that threat of intolerance from the past. Perhaps it is something more modern. In any event, more and more who consider themselves Christians seem to be advocating for triumphalism, the establishment of one national religion over all others. To enforce such an idea would naturally require the power of the state, a modern attempt to fully achieve what was looked for through the Council of Nicaea. But is this God's intent? Maybe not. It becomes problematic when governments dictate religion. What happens when one government chooses one religion or denomination over that of the one chosen by another country? Do we then return to the European wars between the Catholic and the Protestant countries of 500 years ago? So much death and so much destruction came from that. We only got a small taste of that during the recent insurrection. Those who rise up rioting against the common good are evil, and it is the responsibility of government to keep good order. But those who rise in insurrection against the government itself have gone far beyond that and are trampling Paul's counsel in the dirt. They are attacking the government, which Paul claims was set up by God for the purpose of keeping the very order the insurrectionists are subverting. So what is a Christian to do in the face of a government whose legitimacy is in question? We are not to find our peace in opposition to government. That is likely a dead-end road, both figuratively and literally. The path for the Christian is to find that peace in God, who not only should rule in our hearts, but also rules over governments. Too many American Christians are living by the proverb that God helps those who help themselves. This proverb, found nowhere in the Bible, comes instead from Benjamin Franklin, and can be used to justify all sorts of things, from stealing an extra serving of dessert to robbing a bank. It does not come from God, but is instead a justification for selfishness at best and criminal activity at its worst, sadly and all too common American trade. As is quoted from the 23rd Psalm at the beginning of this commentary, our assurance lies not in the force of arms, but in the arms of God. We will enjoy blessings aplenty in the very presence of those who would destroy us. Unlike King Ahaz, we need to understand and accept that. God is in control. We do not need an armed insurrection to challenge our government or its elected officials. Otherwise, we will bring about a similar result to ancient Jerusalem's. Christians need to stop supporting the idea that insurrection is defensible. It betrays their lack of faith in God's supremacy, and instead shows their faith in only their own strength rather than His. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You can find other commentaries and the verse references referred to in this commentary at our website, Stillwaters Ministry, at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God bless you and your family.